All right, if we can stand, face the flag, hand over heart, ready to begin.
I
I
pledge
pledge allegiance
allegiance
to
to
the
the flag
flag
of
of
the
the
United
United States
States of
of America
America
and
and
to
to
the
the
Republic
Republic
for
for
which
which
it
it stands,
stands, one
one
nation,
nation,
under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice
for
for all.
all.
May we please have a ritual?
Right, confirming nobody's, Melissa, nobody's less is up. So, Director Leija,
Here.
Director Skrbellis,
Here.
Director Murphy.
Here.
Okay, moving on to item five, public comments. Have you received any requests for public comment?
No.
No? Okay. On to item five, consent calendar.
I'd like to pull the salaries, expenses, and transfers.
Okay, would you like to make a motion?
I'm going to move to approve items A and C, the minutes and the waiving of readings.
Okay. We have a motion. We have a second.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. All right. Motion carries 3-0. Is that how we're saying it now today? Okay. And item six, correspondence and related information.
All right, I do have a couple of articles in the board packet I came across. One relates to, I guess, water storage, I guess man-made or natural water storage. So two reservoirs situated on the Colorado River, Lake Mead, Lake Powell, Lake Meads in Nevada, kind of protected by Hoover Dam, and then Lake Powell's up there on the Utah-Arizona border. So those are two important water supply reservoirs that supply water to the Colorado River. The Colorado River is important for California residents in the sense that Metropolitan Water District, half of their water supply comes from the Colorado River, and half of it comes from the State Water Project from the reservoirs at the north end of the state. So the drought conditions in, I guess, east of us, those states have depleted the capacity or the levels of Lake Powell and Lake Mead, which obviously is a concern for us or all of the water providers here in Southern California that rely on that water. So fortunately or unfortunately for Rubidoux, we're 100% groundwater. So, 100% of our supply currently comes from the water beneath our feet. Although we do have agreements for import water that does rely upon available supply and resources from Metropolitan. So, we have an abundance of water beneath us, so we tap into that, that being our lowest cost water. Although it's something to keep in mind as we kind of navigate in the future for water supply, if those drought-like conditions persist, the Colorado River, what that means for a potential allocation for Metropolitan. So that's concerning for the Colorado River. But for perspective, I did put on the dais. I have the current snapshots of the reservoirs up in Northern California. So I talked a lot about that last year or the last couple of years when they had a lot of the wet-like conditions the last couple of years. So this little graph on the dais, this is a snapshot from yesterday. So those reservoir levels are still holding strong, which is important. California has long suffered from drought-like conditions. The wet winters over the last couple of years has helped replenish those reservoirs, and it sounds like this is going to be a pretty strong wet year as well. So we'll see what that means for the water reservoir levels in California. So that's the first article. The second article, so this, normally I don't like to highlight these things, but I think it's pertinent to kind of our region and our industry. So water rates, right? I get it. Water rates seem, at least for the district perspective, have gone up every year the last few years as we have a 5-year rate plan. This Golden State Water, this is an investor-owned utility, so it's not quite like Rubidoux, but I put it as perspective that just the industry in general is suffering from increased water rates, delayed infrastructure, trying to be proactive about replacements and repairs and future infrastructure. So I just thought that that was relevant to us as we continue to navigate this high inflationary time and trying to plan for the future of Rubidoux. So that was the two articles then.
What about our wells? Have our wells dropped at all?
Our
That's a
wells?
connection. Yeah, have they dropped as a table dropped at all on the cap?
Yeah, so our water table is fairly constant in our region. So the wells that we have are really proximal to the Santa Ana River. So we do have some benefit of having like constant recharge as that's being recharged. Now our well levels, I want to say over the last probably 5, 6 years have actually been fairly constant.
Because I mean, I know one year, some years ago, I know one year it did take a drop.
Yeah. I'm aware that some places, not here necessarily, but some places with very like deep wells, I know that they saw like even upwards of 10 feet. Our wells are very shallow, so our wells go about to 170, maybe 200 feet deep, and our like the region that we're actually drawing from is only like 70 feet.
We
So
don't have no, we don't even have to think about.
It's something that we keep an eye on. So actually every month our team goes out and takes what are static water levels, so when the well is off, and then pumping water levels when the well is on, just to see and to measure like is it actually dropping or is it constant. So we are checking it.
And then, I mean, another thing to keep in mind too, a lot of the well rehab work that we've done recently, it tackles a couple of things. Lost pumping capacity is one of those. So the rehab work, in essence, is supposed to, I guess, rejuvenate some of the original pumping capacity situated when it was first designed, in addition to just extending the life of the well as well.
Any other questions? No further reports?
Well, we do have a report.
Yep, right, but I need
Nothing
item
for
six.
item six.
Okay, so on item seven, we will have a operations report
Yeah,
today.
so we don't traditionally have an operations report the first meeting of the month, but I did send out an email to the board yesterday. There was a sewer spill on Monday. I provided as much detail in that report yesterday. You might not have seen it, but then I followed that up this afternoon with the certified spill report and then one additional picture that kind of shows the new band in the pipe. So Miguel will go into more detail on the details of that spill.
Ryan, afternoon. Yes, Ryan mentioned there was a sewer spill Monday, August 31st. It was on Rio Road, Calle Hermosa, which is a little dirt road that parallels the Sunny Slope flood control channel. It was on a 10-inch steel pipe that was confirmed to be active sewer that crossed the Sunny Slope channel. The spill did enter into the Sunny Slope channel. And we made the repair that same day and a permanent lining repair the following day. So it all started when we were doing exploratory work to explore. There was two exposed lines, 10 steel lines that crossed the Sunny Slope channel at 10 inch and a 6 inch. So our crews drilled, we were trying to see what was going in those pipes, if anything. I think we were all thinking they were abandoned, and the 10-inch steel pipe was identified as an active sewer main. At that point, we called to connect the collections crew, got our evactor over there, and then we began to cut that open some more. As they were cutting the pipe open, I think the vibration on that 10-inch sewer main, there was an old repair clamp. Those repair clamps, well over 20 years. I never used one of those style clamps in my time here. I've been here over 20 years. And so as they were doing the repair outside the Sunny Slope channel, that's when they noticed this spilling. And then so right when we cut open the pipe, put the nozzle of the vector to create a bypass. Because on the other side of the Sunny Slope channel, there was a manhole, and our evactor was just the right size where we can get the nozzle in the up in the hole and divert all the sewage into the downstream manhole. Until we got the repair, the temporary repair on. So a few contributing factors, like as I mentioned, that clamp was it was old. The steel pipe is in pretty bad shape. And also, our maps identifies that sewer line as clay pipe. And from the as-built that I've seen, there was clay pipe installed there in the 60s. It's 1966. So it doesn't show that it's a steel, and our maps doesn't show that steel main, sewer main. I have seen old as-built too, where there is a 10-inch steel water. I'm assuming that was for the old wastewater treatment plant. Possibly they use that, they repurpose that pipe.
Is that like residual from when we had that flood? Is that like maybe
No.
that's
This
not.
was the old wastewater treatment plant
Oh, okay.
down Rio Road. Yeah. So yeah, 25 gallons were spilled into the Sunny Slope Channel, which makes it a Category 1. Wasn't over 1,000. Over 1,000 is a little different. You'd have to make more. Call more people for that. So now some of the corrective actions with that would be updating our Atlas maps, our GIS information. Now we know that's there. We repaired it with the permanent lining. We also added an extra clamp just to make sure that does not leak. I mean, we already cleaned that line, cleaned it, videoed it. Then we'll maintain photographs, documentation, repair records, and the CQ's report was certified today. And so the conclusion was the discharge was stopped through an immediate bypass. A sewer was there for that reason. And we followed it up with a pipe tech doing the lining of that pipe. A couple of pictures there on the left. That's where we cut open the pipe on the left. And that's the bypass we're using the backer truck. Those are the two pipes going across the Sunny Slope Channel. That 6-inch was not active. There was nothing in there. It's an old abandoned steel pipe. The 10-inch there on the left, right by the wall, that is the 10-inch sewer. I don't you can see the hole is coming back here. It's old, it's rusted. Oh, well, it's like there's the pipe tech crew preparing the line, the slip line. That's then put into the while they did the slip line here, they put it. When we remove that the temp so we can see that slip line went through, we put that bucket in kiddie pool just in case we had some more something dripping down. And this is the old line. This blue is the liner that they installed, and this is the final. We put that clamp on after they lined it, cut the 6-inch pipe out of the way. But yeah, this is kind of an example. This is an example of kind of what we've been doing proactively, going around the district, looking for pipes like this. As last year we got a dedicated sewer crew, purchased the sewer vector. So I think we didn't expect for that clamp to give out. Right. But we were prepared there with the sewer vector. I mean, we have budgeted $700,000 for a comprehensive videoing of our entire 80 miles of sewer. That was out to kind of planning bids. That's closed now. So we'll be going over the bids here soon. Any questions?
I just have a question. Without that dedicated sewer crew and the vector, I'm assuming it could have been a worse.
Oh yes, yeah. If that clamp would have given way. I mean, it's a very there's not many homes there. We don't have we're rarely there, right?
So it could have been a big
Could have
spill.
been a bigger spill, yeah. Especially if that clamp gave out. Right.
Yeah.
It could have been, days before we would have noticed that.
Yeah, and just to jump in there really fast. So, I mean, one of the things that we're realizing is when we establish a sewer crew and we're being more proactive, mind you, we have 80 miles worth of sewer pipe in the ground. So, being proactive, what we're realizing is some of these existing, maybe dormant issues are kind of rising to the surface sooner rather than later. So, as unfortunate as it was that that pipe was situated over the Sunny Slope Channel, to your point, Director Leja, is if that failed and we didn't have our own backdoor truck, and we didn't have a dedicated sewer crew, instead of responding in 30 minutes, it could have been 2 hours, right? Whether or not that's called a pipe tech or relying on JCSD to roll out that sewer vector. So we are being proactive. It's just a matter of these things will pop up from time to time until we do this comprehensive, video the entire system. I mean, we can actually prioritize and plan for the true problem areas, this being one of them. And I think Miguel mentioned that that steel main is half a century old. So yeah, it's just one of those things where being a 70-year-old district, there's a lot of these pipes in the ground, a lot of these quote unquote ticking time bombs we see with a lot of the grease blockages. So it's unfortunate that it takes a sewer spill for those to expose themselves. That's why we're hoping the videoing of the entire system will help us identify those easily. So that's the goal there.
So that, but right now, five
channel.
Hold on a second. I'm not even.
That's one wild loop right there.
So there's so much strength.
The concrete, they're kind of like the pipe, that's plastic pipe.
We will be surveying the entire Sunny Slope Channel. I mean, I know we have water mains running underneath, which I know we have water mains running over the channel, but we'll be surveying the entire channel in our district.
So as of now, it's good to go and cross our fingers. The next one.
Well, it's not so much cross our fingers. I mean, I think, and again, a director from Miguel and his team is, we're going to identify any other sewer that crosses the surface water conveyance system, because obviously.
So I think they're trying to do a repair and they're trying to take up one section of the pipe and they can't access the rest of it. So they still be done in one.
I'll move for a recess
Thank
until
you.
That repair is done.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Okay, were there other questions?
I have several.
Okay.
You could set up a laptop with a picture so I can see them at the next meeting, prior to the next meeting,
yeah.
Or just before. That'd be very helpful.
I'll do that.
One of the issues the district has is the infrastructure is aging. And it's not just the sewer, it's also the water. If you travel down Mission, you'll see in front of the J-Block, there's a valve that's been leaking for several months, and the underground service alert was out there marking that. If you go in front of Barge Furniture, you know where that's at? Yeah, the pipe there is leaking too. That's not marked for underground service alert. When we hired these guys to do this videoing of the sewer, one of the questions I asked was, how are you going to prioritize their sequence of work? $700,000 is not enough money to video 80 miles of sewer. So you want them to video the sewer that's most likely to have a problem. And what we're identifying here today is that there's this update to the Atlas map / GIS information. So the first question I have is, when you say Atlas map, are you talking about a piece of paper?
No.
You're talking about the GIS.
Yes.
So I am familiar with the effort required to do quality assurance on GIS. And we had several people working on that GIS, two of whom no longer here. So do we have somebody who is spending effort on checking the GIS, or do we have some kind of systematic way to verify that the information that we have on the GIS is accurate?
Yeah, so at this time right now, we don't have anyone in that position. We're looking to fill that position. I did meet with Esri today to talk through kind of a plan of action or any of their recommendations on how they might recommend going about making the changes. And so the first step is to, currently it's to reassign permissions to me to make these changes as they come up. Now, in terms of the condition assessment on the sewer, that project, one of the tasks we have in there is actually to obtain correct GIS information. So that way, as they're doing the work, they're actually updating and fixing the GIS. So that will be one piece of it. Now we haven't put a second set of eyes on that yet. That would come directly from like the contractor as they're doing the work. We still have to figure out internally with our limited staff who could be the second set of eyes as the check.
And you're right, Director Murphy, $700,000 is not enough. I mean, that went out to bid and that closed, and you probably have seen that. That's come at $1.1 million. So that will probably be sequenced over multiple fiscal years.
So that's if what you do is video the easiest stuff to video, it's going to be new facilities that are the ones that are least likely to have problems. If what you do is prioritize the older facilities that say that you're using the vitrified clay and it's flat pipe and it's over there by the airport, it's going to be more difficult to do, but it's a higher priority. And the reason, one of the benefits of having a GIS system that is that has that information, it is allows you to rapidly prioritize. And what I have experienced is you can export the GIS database and manipulate it with a spreadsheet, that Excel stuff. And you're looking for age of system and slope of pipe and material. But the other thing is there should be some kind of sign convention on the pipe slope. Hopefully that information is there. But one option available to the district is to hire a student intern to churn through that. Right. I can tell you my experience with student interns, which is almost exclusively Cal Poly interns. So I can tell you that I'm biased towards students from that school. They are much more attentive because it's something new. So I would give that. If I was in the position of trying to figure out how to handle this, I'd give that some thought. But this problem that the district has of aging infrastructure is not just exclusive to sewer. There's also water infrastructure. A couple of them in Mission that have been leaking for some time. And the reason I know they're leaking is because when I ride my bicycle through the water that is puddled in the street and it slaps me in the face, I notice it. So, anyhow, that's a... That's our, I don't have any more comments on this sewer spill.
Thank you. And on item 7, that we have no further reports for this meeting.
Just the standard 7C, the general manager's comments.
Okay.
So transitioning on. So update on the toilet giveaway. So last board meeting, I reported that was on the heels of our second event. I reported that we had delivered 330 toilets of, what was like 447? something like that.
446, yep.
446. So we had delivered 330 toilets. And then I mentioned that we were going to make an active push to get rid of the extra 100, give or take a few, 100 toilets or so. So since that meeting 2 weeks ago, we've coordinated with a lot of the customers that had appointments that unfortunately couldn't make it, in addition to just new interest in eligible customers. So we've given away another 50. So we have about 50 left. And we also made mention that if a customer who received the toilet took a picture of the toilet and submitted it to us, they'd be entered into a raffle to win a second toilet. So we got 11 submissions there, and we'll be raffling off five more toilets that I think we're going to be doing next week. So then that will bring us down to about 40, 45 toilets. So again, we're still trying to push out the toilets. We're trying to make an impact on those who need it the most. So we're hopeful to kind of keep pushing those out the door and hopefully have those out, maybe the end of September, end of October. So that's the update there. Again, I want to remind the board of our Rubidoux Community Services District cleanup, e-waste, and compost giveaway event. So that will be Saturday, September 12th, 8 to 12 p.m. That will be in our back parking lot and our back lot. So this is restricted for Rubidoux customers only, and we'll be partnering with Virtek for this event. And because we like to educate our customers, and there's always a theme to these events. So this is our flyer that we'll be handing out with the event. This is "Keep Grease Out of Our Sewer." So English and then Spanish. So, on the heels of our discussion about the sewer and trying to, a lot of these issues, a lot of the grease issues, right? That's just bad, I guess, maintenance or behaviors of our customers, and maybe they just don't know. Maybe they don't know what's supposed to go down the sewer drain. So, the more education that we can do, even if we, reach 5% or 10% of customers, that will go a long way in trying to preserve our sewer pipes, and hopefully mitigate future blockages and spills. So that's upcoming, guess not this Saturday, but next Saturday. The next IAC meeting, I think I forwarded that invite to the board. That will be, I don't have that here. It's the last Friday of the month, which I think is September 25th. Yes, September 25th at 8:30 at Veterans Memorial Community Center, 4393 Riverview Drive. And then lastly, the Food Fest. So the 26th annual Hoopa Valley Food Fest, that will be Saturday, October 17th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Skyview Event Center. So I have the flyer from Director Leija. We're going to talk internally about potential sponsorship opportunities. So I wanted to remind the board about that event, 26th anniversary. That's, that's quite the longevity of that event. So that's all the updates I have today.
I have a question on the toilets. If we know of somebody that missed the opportunity but was interested, can we refer them to call in?
Sure, and we'll check their eligibility, and
Okay.
if they're eligible, then I don't see any reason why they can't get a toilet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And on the cleanup event, I see it's kind of a variety of items, but I don't know. I think. Do they accept sharks or those not?
It is hazardous waste, so yes, you can bring that.
Okay, great.
Considered to be hazardous.
Okay. And then,
Tires are, I'll go ahead.
okay. No.
Yes, you could bring tires without the rims.
Okay.
And then
I always get them with the rims.
lastly, on the grease, it says to dispose it properly, but it doesn't tell you what that method is.
You know what's funny is as I was looking at it right here, I was thinking, I was like, oof, yes. So proper method would be to put it in a baggie and then dispose of it
In the green.
in. No, I don't believe grease goes in the green.
It
Grease
goes
goes
in
in
the regular black
yeah,
container.
it goes
The
in the
black.
black. Yeah, so we'll add
All
that
of
to
these.
this.
The
Yeah,
food scraps will go in the green.
right.
Right. Grease goes in the black.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we have a product that we're trying out right now and we're testing, which would go along with this. But we're testing it first internally before we distribute it. And what it is actually is it dissolves in like hot oil and it solidifies it into like a What's a
sponge-like
no, it's
texture.
a no, it's more like a jello texture,
Oh.
but it's biodegradable. So it completely degrades within 30 days. And then that can be disposed of in a different way. So we have purchased some for us to test out and see if it would be a good fit. Our preliminary tests have kind of showed that we need a lot of oil. So maybe for someone who's deep frying, it might be an option. So I don't know that we're gonna hand it out until we can get a successful test internally. But yeah, thank you for pointing that out because we can add that to our flyers.
Great. Great. And you got your questions
Oh
answered.
yeah, I think
Okay.
I'd like to have a tire come down.
Yeah. Rolling
Or
up
rolling on
and
hand. And
I guess I got since we're on item seven to touch upon item 7E, the JUSD liaison. So I have been in contact with the Interact president, leader,
advisory.
advisor. So we're trying to get that situated. If you recall, we had the transition from our previous liaison, Israel, end of last school year. His replacement did come in. I'm just confirming that that's still his replacement, but we'll try to have that person start up the regular meeting attendance shortly.
Great.
Could you repeat the last one? Was it 26th anniversary you were saying?
Of the Harappa Valley Food Fest,
Okay.
that's October 17th, 4 to 8 p.m.,
Yeah.
Skyview Event Center.
Armando used to work on this every.
Okay. Okay. Item A, action and discussion items. We will begin with consent item B pulled by Director Murphy.
I have a couple of things that caught my eye on this. So we got another bill from Minuteman Press, and there was 270 notices sent out. That was one cycle.
Correct. That'll be
Okay.
all. Thank you.
Then there's invoices in here from Center Electric. My recollection is that we signed a master services contract with a new electrical contractor.
Correct, but we still intended to use Center Electric on stuff. We're just giving ourselves multiple or maximum flexibility, put it that way.
Okay. So it is not that we hired a new electrical
We hired
contractor
a.
because Center Electric was not performing up to our
Well,
expectation.
we try to utilize what their expertise is, and S-Tech is more expert in SCADA configuration, and Center Electric is more expert in just general electrical work.
Yeah, they can use SCADA as well, but all the new valving at the Smith plant, like the Sonora, they have more of the staff to tackle that. Center Electric a little more on a smaller scale.
Yeah, they're like three
Yeah.
employees. What we find with Center, as much as they've been a valuable partner for the district over the years, being a small staff, 2-3 person operation, it is very difficult to get emergency work out of them, which is when you're doing water and sewer systems, sometimes that's necessary. So again, we never intended to fully cut out Center Electric. We're just trying to, I guess, position this district forward for better reliability and service to ensure that our systems, if they do go down, they don't stay down for a long period of time.
So that one of the bills here is it's the task that's listed is start moving SCADA software over to new computer at main office. Next day, start moving SCADA software over to new computer, and then do more of the same thing. So they were over here at this building doing SCADA work, and there's another bill here where they were out here on an emergency basis. So I understand what you say when you say that I can understand the benefit of having multiple contractors to do work. That's all the questions I have. Okay. I'm going to move for approval of the salary and expenses and transfers.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in
All right.
favor? Aye. Motion passes 3-0. Okay. Now on to item 8A, resolution authorizing change of trustee custodian for the district. Section 457, Deferred Compensation Plan.
All right, Director of Finance Kirk Hamblin will give the staff report for 8A and 8B.
So this one is kind of a housekeeping item. So a little background. Years back, the district started offering a 457 B plan, which is similar to like a 401k plan for employees. Currently, the district does not contribute or match contributions for employees. So this is really just a benefit that we kind of manage with the payroll process to give employees an option to do something in addition to possibly CalPERS retirement stuff. So the only cost that we have out of this program is really time spent through payroll on it and allocating that and doing changes in-house. And the employees that participate in the plan, which is currently a Lincoln product, they have costs for their assets in the plan to be managed, which are taking out of their balances, you know, on a monthly basis across the whole plan. Right, so there's like an admin fee. We do provide them with a financial advisor that benefits from them within that plan. But the district does not pay for the financial advisor, does not pay any fees or admin fees for this 457 plan. So as this plan has gone by, initially when it first started, we weren't really a big fish in the pond, and we really didn't have a lot of investment options to offer our employees. So right now, the Lincoln product is kind of like an insurance product, and it's not like mutual funds or certain other things. They show it like mutual funds, but really it's an insurance product, my understanding. And the fees are actually a little higher for us. So what we did is we evaluated other plans, and in this PM, you'll see that we considered Lincoln. We also considered Empower, and we looked at FOIA. And so that's on the second page of this DM. And you'll be able to see that in our plan, the participants in that plan at this time were combined had about $1.7 million that they've invested in this 457 plan amongst themselves. That includes current employees, and it can include old retirees if they are old employees if they didn't pull their money out and move it somewhere else, right? So you have that possibility. So we're just trying to give our employees the added benefit of a lower cost plan with a better product. So we're going to recommend this. The purpose of this is recommended to go with Empower. Empower has one, it has online documentation. Right now, our employees have to fill out paper forms because the Lincoln plan is very outdated. It also had the cheapest overall total fees to our employees. And it does have the benefit of allowing them to analyze their current investments with the 457, but also their potential benefits from CalPERS, so they can kind of look at them together as one and plan them together rather than looking separately. So it doesn't manage CalPERS for them, but I do believe it has a feature that will help them evaluate all of their investments kind of together and give them information to support them. We did give this information to the union. The union did support it. So to me, it's more of housekeeping. I feel like it's a good move. It's going to be easier for them to manage, easy for the participants to look at their information as well and change their contributions. And it's going to actually be easier to submit payroll information as well. So again, just a reminder, there's no fiscal impact. The district does not pay anything to transition this plan. The only people that will benefit are the participants of the plan. And the recommendation is to adopt this with a formal resolution, which will then allow us to move forward with that power and establish that plan with them so they can be our trustee over the plan.
You said the union went along?
Yes, yeah, they supported it.
Question?
I have no questions on this topic.
Make a motion to approve. Oh, just sorry, can I ask you?
No, I. Well, the only question I have, and is for my knowledge, do you know the percentage or number of employees that are participating in
it? There's 17 employees, 17 active accounts, 28.
I would say 66% are active employees and probably 33% are retirees.
So you have 28.
That sounds about right.
28 accounts with a balance. So I'd consider that to be active. An active participant is 17. So I'd consider that to be current.
Yeah.
We have 28 employees.
Correct.
Yeah. So 17 out of 28 are making contributions, and we have 11 people who previously were current employees.
Yes, correct.
This is yeah, that they correct. Still have money on account.
That's correct.
Yep. Of the 1.7 million.
Make a motion to approve.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0.
So this one is about the district's kind of credit card process and the policy. So right now the process is we have a credit card that we utilize through Columbia Bank. We have approximately 7 employees that have a credit card. The process right now is that they provide me with their receipts, and then I will reconcile their statement at the end of each month. And they have a policy that they're supposed to abide by. So like they're not supposed to share their cards. If they share their cards, then if there's ever fraud, I will never know who did it or not, right? So I won't, so they have to be held accountable with not sharing their cards. So that way, if some fraud ever does happen, that we can be sure it wasn't them, or try and be more secure with that. So we don't like credit cards to pass around. And one issue that we have come in, which is where this kind of stemmed from, is we wanted to make some changes because we try and encourage our employees to not use their credit card. We try and encourage them to have these as more of, what's the right word? Just kind of odds and ends things that just come up, like or going out to a restaurant or something where it's not like a vendor, right? But like, we try and set up as many customer accounts as possible for like Grainger, like Home Depot. So that way our employees have an account there, they can charge the account and invoice can be sent back to us. And we don't have the risk of like a credit card information floating around. So we like to utilize that as much as possible. But one issue we have come across is, particularly I spoke with one of our employees, Marco Salas, is when we try and do truck repairs, sometimes the facilities that are local, they want their payment on the spot, and they aren't willing to work with us on like account structure, like just invoicing us afterwards. And so we sometimes struggle with one, our credit card balance, depending on the activity. So if we have a bunch of repairs on a truck, they can cost $2,000 to $3,000 or whatever, then sometimes that balance goes up. But then I also have to track down all the invoices from those employees. And part of this is to try and help make it easier for them. So I'm trying to move towards a credit card that will be through a financial institution, but will have a corresponding app for them. So that way, for example, if you go and you maybe you went and got that truck repaired and you had an $1,800 charge, your phone's going to vibrate right away because it's going to text you and say, hey, look, we have a transaction. And that employee could literally take a picture real quick, upload it, and then it's going to come to me on the other end where I can manage it. And so that's what I'm trying to do and move forward with. And I want to do it formally through this and updating the policy and doing. So what I wanted to do also is update the policy so that it reflects the possible use of like electronic submissions and tracking and utilize that and giving me the flexibility to kind of make sure that I can go look for the best possible opportunity for this district of a credit card provider or a credit provider. Per se. So the one we do have one active credit card that's through we utilize Columbia Bank to go grab that. We do not have any type of electronic format. One other change I have put in there as part of the credit card policy is I would like to change, kind of have a $750 threshold where you have to get pre-approval, but that's proven to be a little bit more tedious than I would prefer. It's not really a significant, I don't want to say it's not significant, but it's we have a lot more bigger expenditures that the people who have those credit cards are really allowed to spend with their budget, you know. So everybody who has that credit card, you know, spend more than that on their budget on a daily basis rather than just use the credit card is just a form of payment. So we really want credit cards like incidentals. Like I try and encourage if I see a bunch of invoices, you know, can we get an account with these people? Can we do this so we don't have credit cards? I want them to be for incidental. So that's what I was looking for earlier. So this is just kind of me doing housekeeping and updating that policy, but also trying to be transparent and moving forward with a new new avenue for us. So the recommendation would be to approve the updated credit card policy and then formally adopt the resolution.
Any questions?
Yeah, I wanted to follow up on this vehicle repair issue. So we just signed a check to buy something, tires, that's where we go to get our flats fixed and get new tires.
Alikas.
So I'm obviously we have an account with them. What struck me as odd is that the district pays a lot less for fixing flats than I pay when I get it, when I have to get a flat fixed. So that's a good deal. And I have noticed there are multiple automobile repair facilities in this area. So, and that you would use different repair facilities for different stuff. So is the issue that we have contacted local vendors and they've said no?
Because obviously we would like to encourage them to be local, one, because of its proximity, but two, also because we want to keep funds locally as well. This particular staff did mention that they have tried to get on account with that and it doesn't happen. That's why they have to get a credit card. And this one, this person didn't previously have a credit card also. So he would have to go find as a supervisor to come over with the credit card to actually do it, which would be generally Miguel. So that's why we found that that was inefficient and it didn't make sense. But when they can do something on account, we all know that we try and create as many accounts, and we have gotten quite a few more accounts going to try and reduce that volume because it's much more difficult to reconcile too, and we have to go through a credit card statement and track down those things rather than just getting an invoice emailed to us at our accounts payable.
Cards are more for like our specialized vehicles, our dump truck, our trailer. Some of these vendors don't have accounts, credit accounts. So they just accept credit cards. That's what we found.
So there are some vendors that do automobile work that won't start the work unless they know they're going to get paid.
Correct.
I can understand that.
One other big one was Ace. We tried to get an account with Ace and
a lot of people, especially automotive place, they've gotten burned so many times that they don't even want to do that stuff anymore.
Ace is the big one.
Ace Hardware.
Ace, they go get a lot of parts there and they just won't set us up. So that's one that's usually on the credit card quite often.
All right.
We do have an account with SoCal Truck.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 He's
still there.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I can't call
him. Okay. I'll make a motion to the
Okay.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes 3-0. Okay. And lastly, on AC,
Being
presented by Miguel?
Yes, I will. This is Director's Memorandum 2026-76, consider award of PFAS ion exchange resin replacement services and approval of a master services agreement for the Thompson Water Treatment Facility. Little background, Thompson Plant treats groundwater for iron, manganese, and PFAS. The PFAS system was installed in 2021. There's six pressure vessels and a lead lag trains. Each vessel contains approximately 459 cubic feet of DuPont Amber Light Left Resin. And the operational monitoring, the sampling we take there indicates that we'll reach the district's 10 part per trillion changeout trigger for PFOA November of this year. So we'd like to get those three lead vessels replaced. So we put out a request for proposal on private bids. It was released August 6th with the addendum that established the initial 2026 resin changeout and requested annual pricing for future services through 2030.
The district received one proposal that was from Evoqua. So we determined that Evoqua they submitted the only qualified bid. Evoqua was the one that installed the ion exchange treatment system at the Thompson plant. We used their resin, their support. Of the six original resin filled in 2021, only four required replacement. When we initially filled those vessels, we were thinking it would be every 18 months we'd have to replace those vessels. So that resin has worked out. We still have two of the vessels still have the original resin from 2021.
Worked out pretty good.
Yeah, 5 years. So the scope of this would be to replace 1,377 cubic feet of resin in the three lead vessels. They would deliver the resin, take out the old resin, the startup, return it to service, also profile the resin they take out because that would need to be incinerated, and the closeout documentation and certificate of the destruction.
So that resin has to be handled like hazardous material then.
Yeah, it's got PFAS in it.
So it's got to be like trucked somewhere.
Yeah,
it's
got to
be
trucked hauled out to
Utah or Ohio or something like that.
Okay.
It's not cleaned, it's destroyed.
It's destroyed.
Right. Yeah, they incinerate it.
Yeah.
No, that's easier to dispose of than the other ways than burying it.
Evoqua's firm fixed price for the 2026 changeout for the food vessels is $622,785. We requested $625,000 to allow for tax and audit invoicing adjustments. We were prepared for this, so we put in the water fund budget this year. There's $1 million in line item 21, treatment media related expense. So there'd be $375,000 after this initial change out.
How much was it originally when we did it 2021? Was it like 500 back?
The picture you have it on the next slide, potentially? Or no?
No.
Or it's in the staff report. So the most recent time that we had to fill one of the vessels was February of 24. So 2.5 years ago, that was $193,000 for that vessel. So if you take the 622
just one
divided by three, it's 207. So it went from 193 to 207 in 2.5 years.
Okay, so it didn't drastically.
7%.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and the master services agreement would establish contract terms and pricing through 2030. The price goes up 5% every year. But still, all future resin replacements will have to come to the board for authorization. And the staff recommendation for this is one, award the RFP to Water Technologies, authorize the master services agreement through 2030, approve and authorize the 126 task order, and report, but it would still require future task orders and purchases to be authorized by the board for future. The question is,
what I find useful is the unit cost. That's the thing that I'm tracking. So what we have here for the unit cost for this stuff is it's provided in the staff report, table 2, column 2. And those prices are going up at a 5%. So what is the plan if the unit cost for this material goes up dramatically because of some external factor?
I think we would have with the master agreement, those prices would be locked in through 2030. So it all depends on when we would need this.
Not to exceed
5%. Yeah, it's not to exceed 5%. And so the only thing that they would have any flexibility on is the tax.
So in the event that that sales tax goes up, they would, well, the sales tax is whatever the sales tax is.
Exactly.
So if there was some kind of, there's a single supplier here. It's was it Dow Chemical. The
DuPont.
material itself comes from
DuPont.
the DuPont.
The resin.
Correct.
The resin comes from DuPont. Okay, so if DuPont raised their price for this material, we'd still be getting this unit cost.
Correct.
Correct.
And then there's different companies that make this resin, and we have been using the DuPont resin, and we're going to continue to use the DuPont resin. Look at other resin that might be acceptable, like
I think
Dow or
we would have looked at anyone that submitted a
anyone that submitted a
proposal.
proposal. So
Correct.
did we identify in the public bid, did we say, did we name the resin by, did we specify the resin by name, or did we specify the resin by performance?
So we did performance. So we did minimum product properties. We did say what we were currently using in there. So if you look at the board packet, so we have what we're currently using. And then in section 3, 3.2, we say minimum product properties. So it has to be a strong base anion exchange resin with a styrene, divinyl benzene, and where the functional group is. So it's how it would perform.
Which page are you looking at there?
Oh, I in a different part of it? No, keep going.
Sorry,
I'm on the
okay.
next page. I'm on the next page. Oh, sorry, I'm on page of 5 of the RFP. Oh, 6. Yeah, 5. 3.2,
Okay,
minimum
3.2, and you're
properties.
looking at the minimum properties there.
Correct. Yeah, and we have the specified right there is what we've used in the past. It's the current like manufacturer. And then we say it has to just meet this in this product properties. So we say what we currently have, and then what we're looking for. That makes sense. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Thank you for calling that out. No, we did call out. I do apologize, Director Murphy. It does look like we did call out the DuPont Amber Light PSR2 Plus.
Because I'm looking at
Yeah.
page 4, item 2.4, and it calls it out by name.
Yeah, no, you are correct. I'm sorry. I was misunderstood.
So it is helpful when you're identifying acceptable products to identify more than one. There are more than one. I don't know if there is more than one product that can be supplied that will meet our criteria, but I do know that there's more than one kind of resin to get these PFAS.
It's also
So.
it needs to fit in the vessels we have, because that's what we found also when we're doing the manganese. There's other manganese treatment, but it wouldn't fit the vessels that we have. So what we got, we're dealing with now works. Yeah.
This material is relatively small in size. It's kind of flows like sand. It's small particles, so and vessels are big. There are other manufacturers. I don't know if what the other manufacturers make, but I think if when these specifications are looked at again in 2029, if we could look at specifying, not specifying by name, but rather specifying by performance. And if we're going to list a name, if we could list more than one, that would be a good idea, I think.
Well, it looks like we're getting our money's worth out of it right now.
This district, when they're looking for vehicles, only buys Fords.
Nothing wrong with that.
So it doesn't matter if you get a price for a Ford truck from five different Ford dealers, you're still sole sourcing it. So I think it's a good practice when we're having these specifications prepared, to not specify by name, but rather specify by performance. And the reason for that is that you can get a potential cost savings by because you have competition. And if you look at the amounts here over the next 5 years, we're budgeting millions of dollars. And I don't know if we're going to be purchasing millions amount because it's based off of how much this stuff gets used up. But when the district buys salt or fuel, we buy it from different vendors. So it is good practice to not specify by name, but specify by performance. And if you're going to specify by name, specify more than one. And also, this thing was on the public bid for a couple of weeks, for 2 weeks. And I don't know if that was the people that installed previously have a competitive advantage because they're familiar with the system. So if you only allow 2 weeks for their competitor, you may not get a bid because there's just not sufficient time to bid. And there was an addendum addendum one was to go get the 5-year master rate. So that wasn't in the original specs. So it is possible to write these specifications in such a way as to encourage competition, and competition encourages cost savings. And public money is a precious thing. That is the comment I had on this. Thank you for the information.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Yeah, we have a motion. We have a second. I will second the motion. All in favor?
All right.
Aye. Opposed?
I am opposed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item 9, director comments and requests. Director Murphy?
Don't have any comments there.
For balance. Well, I'm just going to comment that 2 weeks ago, General Manager Lazon, I attended the Perth Community Services District 70th anniversary celebration. They gave us these books, kind of with their history. I thought some of you might be interested in looking through it, so I'm happy to share it. It was a nice event. And as you all know, next year will be our 75th.
I took an abundance of pictures. I haven't shared them with Melissa yet, but we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. If we can steal ideas, then we're definitely going to do that. But they put together
The invitation
a pretty nice
was
event, and we're going to try to do the same.
Trying to do a few videos and
They put together a pretty nice event, and we're going to try to do the same.
no fireworks.
Apparently, those are cold pyrotechnics. So I'm not familiar with cold pyrotechnics, but they look real to me.
They had a stage and they had somebody sing the national anthem and they had fireworks on the side and they like you thought you were at Angel Stadium, like somebody to own it. So that's all of my comments. We will adjourn at 5:04. Our next meeting will be September 17th at 4 o'clock.